listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right, on the World Wide Web, 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that Listen Live button right there on that homepage and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, all of our shows are archived there as well by date. You can look up Viewpoint with Sita and Friends each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. Of course, then we post everything on our social media pages, which is under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. And after 15 years of being on the show, Sita, we've got quite a selection of things. You can also search by candidate name or author name or just topic, because I've done a pretty good job on making sure on the website that you can look up by anything.
That's right.
You'll be able to find all of our great guests that we've had on over the last 15 years.
So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, on Mondays, we sit here in the studio, thanks to Kim and Danny. Kim is the owner of our station. Danny runs our board. Ellen is my right hand for the show. She's my co-host of 14 years. And I have to tell our listeners that Danny has talked us into staying one more year. So
Woo-hoo.
15 years, and I frantically texted Ellen over the weekend. I said, are you sure you want to do this? And she said, sure, if you're up to it. Allie is here with us, Allie Tambor, and she
Hello.
Is one of our co-hosts as well as our forever friend. Just stays
Aww.
With us here on the guest.
I like that title.
Yeah, now we're changing her to the forever friend of the show. So on Mondays, we sit here and we speak to people who care about our community, care about our state, care about the United States of America, and people who care about the inhabitants of the world. We talk about the environment, financial literacy. We speak to many authors and writers who have something to say. They want to cleanse their soul. Some people just want to get something out. We speak with musicians and artists and teachers, doctors, lawyers. It's a show where we give people a platform to speak about whatever they want to speak in a responsible manner. And today's no different. Our good friend, Vinny, and I have to say this correctly, Taranto.
So as the Vatican guard told me, it's pronounced Taranto.
Taranto.
Yes.
Vinny Taranto is
junior.
Here. And, yeah,
junior.
And Vinny is a good friend of mine. He has inspired so many people, including myself, with, I must say, all the wonderful things he does in the community. He's a businessman. He's now running for office, County Commission, seat 5.
District V.
District
yeah,
V.
Yeah, like Vinny.
I know that's
the Roman numeral 5. Yes.
And we've changed up the show a little bit today, Ellen. We've got Vinny. He's going to be on first segment with us. And then the second segment, I've got a gentleman who actually ran for office in the great state of Missouri in 2018. His name is John Woodman. And he is going to be talking about how we fix America and giving us some tips about voting and why we should vote and, you know, why we should read. A lot of people, they talk, but they don't read. They have other people telling them what to do, how to say things and who to vote for. And that's not a good practice. So I guess we're going to talk to him in the second segment. So, Vinny, we're going to start with you. Talk to us a little bit on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about your background and why you decided to throw your hat in and run against a seasoned Republican here in Brevard County, Florida, who just doesn't want to give up for a younger person to take over.
Well, thank you. First off, I'm humbled by the list of people you have on your radio show, and then I'm here. So I am humbled and grateful for that and for the time you all are going to spend with me today. And just briefly, on, I know your second guest is going to come up, but I use this word media diet.
Yes.
And I think that it's so important. We worry about the food that goes in our body, but do we worry about the media that we are also digesting? And is it making us angry after everything we see? And if so, maybe there's a reason, and maybe somebody's trying to use those emotions for what they want. But anyways, to answer your question, a little bit about me. I was born and raised here, lived in Indy Atlantic. It was actually unincorporated Brevard, but my mother always said, we're in Indy Atlantic. Now they refer to it as fake Indy Atlantic because it's not in the actual town. And you know, born and raised here, moved away to go to UF, University of Florida, worked for the university for 10 years, and then came back here to help my father with the family business when the recession hit in 2008.
Right.
And briefly why I'm running. You know, I've done a lot in the community, and I'm blessed to have that opportunity to work with a lot of different people in the community. And I'm one of those people that don't feel I need I don't need to have a position or a title, but this seat was going to be open. The incumbent wasn't going to be able to run again. They were termed out. And so I figured I'll put my name in because I'd love to help my community on a larger scale.
Right.
And then, you know, a week after I entered is when the other candidate entered.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, so they chose to go against me. It wasn't the other way.
See.
It wasn't the other way around. But it's okay. I'm still ready to go.
So for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Steve and Friends, so Vinny and Ellen and Allie and I, we had a discussion before the show started. So it's like a second show. But, you know, one thing about you is there aren't enough people who are disabled that is out there inspiring others. Just like there aren't enough Indian women who have a voice that are speaking with Caribbean plus American roots and Indian roots. Just like there's not enough people for the LGBT community or any marginalized community, right? You were chosen. And I think, you know, there's divine intervention with everything. I do believe wholeheartedly that every breath we take, it's divine. It's from the Father above, whether you call him Krishna or Buddha or Jesus or Lord or whatever. And I think you've got that, Vinny. And somehow, someway, you're inspired and you're motivated to give so much. What is it about you that you can just speak and have the whole room light up?
You know, it's kind of funny the way that you phrase it. You know, I really do believe I am a Christian and Catholic, and I do believe God makes us all the way he wants us. And I don't feel any different about myself being disabled. And so when I die and when I go to heaven, if I go to heaven, I'm trying to do all the good deeds and accepting, you know.
Yeah.
And when I go to heaven, I don't see myself being not disabled.
Right.
It's who I am. It's how I'm created.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people in either heaven or hell. You'll meet a few where you're going for sure, but I know the other side will have a lot.
Well, thank you. So, yeah, so, you know, I'm just trying to do my best. And the way that I was raised, my parents, I am so blessed. You know, my father had a retirement community that he owned and operated. And so it basically was like a little city. And I remember Christmas mornings as a little kid waking up, we'd open our gifts, and then my father would go off and head to the community because somebody's pipes burst in a freeze. And so my mother, she is one of those people that just wraps you with a blanket of love. And so just growing up, I had great examples of people that gave to others.
Yeah, like nothing stops you, Vinny.
Cared about others.
Nothing.
Well, you know, I had a friend that told me once, and it was probably one of the greatest compliments I ever received, and she said, you have no fear. And that's not always a good thing. I rode a donkey on the cliffs of Santorini. And so
no, dear.
I didn't have fear, but, you know, I survived. But I feel that we've got to do the best that we
it's
can.
It's your calling.
I feel we're giving gift. It is. It's, and so in my logo for my campaign, in the letter V, there's a star, and that star is the gift we all have.
Right.
And so that I worked with a designer, but that was an important part of my logo because we're all given a gift,
yeah.
And it's all about finding that gift, honoring
that gift.
A purpose,
right?
And a purpose, and using that gift. But it's not, you know. And I'll tell this backstory. And there's a woman out there, and if she's hearing this, I want to let her know it was a positive experience. But I was eating sushi over here at the Village. and I was drinking my miso soup. And it maybe I was slurping a little bit. I mean, I can't use a spoon.
I could see that happening.
But I always try to do it respectfully. And the woman next to me screamed at me, "Use your hands!" And then she looked over and saw that I couldn't. And so she kind of buttoned up. Hmm. And then I saw her get up and came and sat back down. And when it came time for the bill, I went with two of my other friends. They both got bills and I didn't. And the woman had gotten up and taken care of my bill in advance.
Yeah.
And I looked over to her and I said, and it was a bench situation. So it wasn't like she was at the table next to me. She was literally right next to me. And so I looked over at her and I said, "Ma'am, did you pick up my bill?" And she just starts bawling.
Aww.
And she's like, "I am so sorry. I am so sorry." You know, she had a family member who was disabled. And now I'm crying because she's crying. And I'm just trying to eat sushi. And I'm crying. And we're crying. And we're hugging. And, you know, the thing is some people don't see it. They don't realize it. They have bad days. We all, my battle is very visual. If I walk up to a set of stairs and I say I can't get up there, it's very obvious. But we all have battles that we fight in our day to day. And some of them are invisible. And so she didn't realize, and she was so sorry. And well, so I got a free meal out of it. So that's kind of cool.
Well,
but it's not.
Well, you bring, you know, what you have in your life is practical experience.
Yes.
And leadership. And you've brought that not just to running for County Commissioner District 5, but you did that with your media company.
Yes.
Right? And you had an award-winning.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about that. And then I want to talk to you about your key issues and your vision for Brevard. But I want our audience to know, our listeners to know, that how much you've done prior to running for the seat.
Thank you. Yeah, so I was working for the University of Florida. I helped them create an IT department. This was way, way back in the early 90s when the internet was like a new thing.
And you had to dial up.
Yeah, exactly. Beep, beep, beep. You know, all that fun stuff.
Hey, I still have AOL.
Oh, yeah.
And Ellen does too.
You know, see, there you go. There you go. And then, so I was working IT there, and I was also, because of my disability, helping disability services. And so one of the things we were able to accomplish is the first hearing impaired doctor to go to the UF medical school. Because they kept saying, well, if he can't hear, how can he hear with a stethoscope, right, when you go? Well, they have visual monitors. So what if he just carried around a visual monitor and could visually see the heartbeat? So there were so many wins that I was able to get at the University of Florida. And I had one of my mentors there, Dr. James Costello, who the last words he said to me were, "Vinny, run." Mm-hmm. He has since passed. But he was a great man fighting for people to help people. And so I got this advocacy that I was able to do on other behalf, which we all know it's easier to advocate for somebody else than it is ourselves.
That's right.
But so I was doing this, and there was an individual woman, a freshman, who had gone away on a skiing trip. She had hit a tree, and she became paralyzed from the waist down. And so I helped her use the internet for the first time using a head tracking device, and her face lit up. And I just said, I can't keep working IT because I'm in a basement somewhere only getting calls when email doesn't work. That's not going to work for me. So I said, I'm going to start a film production company because I want to touch people. And so I got a degree in TV and radio production at the University of Florida. My brother went out to California and got a master's in film from Loyola University. And then we said, let's make some movies that really,
let's make some noise.
That really makes people think about emotions. And so the first short that we did was called King of the Ring, and it was the world's most illegal and dangerous fighting ring and the only woman brave enough to enter. But we love twists and turns, and so I'm not going to give anything away. But if you Googled, you know, King of the Ring, you might be able to put your thumb on it and see what the twist is. And then the second film, which this is one of the most proudest things that I feel I've done, and we were talking about it before, it was a 10-year journey from writing the script to casting to location scouting to shooting to some of our cast ending up in the hospital and us not being able to shoot and wait to NBC buying our location out because they wanted to film there. So So it took 10 years and then editing and special effects. Overall, it was 250 people worked on this project.
Well, we're so proud of you, Vinny.
Thank you.
All of those stories tell me is that you're a problem solver. That's the whole thing.
And
you're
that's
an opportunity
what we need for
getter
reward.
And a problem solver. And that's totally what we need.
So and real quick, I learned from that project was when you have a set and you've got, 100 people on set and their creativity direction is pushing one way, you need to be that guidance. You need to be the one that smiles at everybody, inspires them first thing in the morning, and gets everybody on the right track.
Well, one of the things... creatives have got to be the hardest people to manage.
Oh, but they're so fun. Yeah. They're so fun because they're bouncing off the walls, and all you do is catch them in a basket, like cats. You just run around with a basket, catch everybody.
Well, one of the great things about you is that you've given a lot of presentations in our county about the environment. And your stewardship of the environment is fascinating. So talk to us a little bit about your campaign and what you hope to do, not just for the Indian River Lagoon, but for the environment on the whole here in Brevard County, Florida, because there's work to be done.
There's lots of work to be done. And thank you, Cesar, for the question. Back in 2016, I had a friend of mine email me and said, hey, you should put an application in this because it looks both fun and dangerous. And if anybody knows me, those two things, that's kind of what I like to do. Let's refer back to the donkey in Santorini. But so it was to serve on the Citizens Oversight Committee for the half-cent sales tax. So in 2016, Brevard residents chose to tax themselves to fix the lagoon. And so I've served proudly on that oversight committee for the past 8 years, including 3 years as chairman. So they won't let me go. They keep appointing me.
And yeah, I remember.
I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Yes.
And so it is so important to me for two reasons. First off, I was born and raised here, and I spent time on that lagoon with my grandfather and my family. And so there is a deep connection. There's a deep connection there. But second off, a lot of people move to Florida. We live where people vacate. They vacation here. So it's we have a lot of people moving here. And so a lot of those people come from places that aren't Florida, and they don't understand the damage that they can do to the lagoon simply by living,
by walking
their pets and not picking up their poop, or by washing their cars in the driveway, or having their downspouts go onto their driveways instead of into their grass. There's so much, and communication is one of those wicked problems where there's not one solution, and there's never a yay, we've done it.
It's
a continuous problem.
And I like that you tied that into your campaign, that the economic growth is actually tied into the environmental protection.
Florida has the best combination of environment and entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. The best. Growing up and going to elementary school, every time there was a space launch, whole school would be walked outside. And as a little kid, seeing a rocket go up, nothing's impossible.
That's right.
And so Florida has this marriage of environment and entrepreneurship, and we've got to keep
and
them
the economy
both
going. Is tied
the economy
into
is
that.
Tied
no matter what,
both.
How we
you
cut
cannot
it and
separate.
It.
You can't
yeah.
separate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You can't. And so if you focus on one too heavy, the other's going to sacrifice. And so I'm so blessed to be able to have seen both sides.
Right, and we must let our listeners know that when you guys and all of us worked on that half-cent sales, like, it was passed.
It was.
And it helped tremendously here in Brevard and in our state.
So this is what I'm going to ask everybody to do. In the mornings when you're driving on a roadway adjacent to the lagoon, look up. Look on the streetlights, look on trees, and see how many birds you see looking into the lagoon. You will see more now than you have because the water's clearer. And so they're actually sitting there eating. I think 3 weekends ago, I saw 7 or 8 pods of bait fish coming over the 192 causeway. I haven't seen that many number of pods working together. Now, we still have got a long way to go. We still have lots of unchecked growth. So we still have to do more. But the water is undeniably cleaner.
Now is a good time to ask the question for our listeners that are out there. I know everybody gets involved in all the presidential stuff and all the national stuff, but they don't really realize what a Florida county commissioner does. So what is it? What is a Florida commissioner doing in our community that we need to be looking at our candidates better, because they're the people that are affecting our lives the
locally.
Most.
Yeah. Locally. So some of the responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there are many technical responsibilities dealing with the county, from your roads to your infrastructure, water, sewer, There's also a human services division that does affordable housing that acts as an intermediary between the state and funds coming in and the federal government and funds coming in. There's also there's emergency services that we do or that the county commission does. There's a lot of individual things that they do. One of the biggest things for me to focus on is that countywide leadership. And what that means to me is that I want to bring groups together and work on issues. The First Lady, Casey DeSantis, has this thing she calls Hope Florida. And what it is, it's a combination of the government and private private industries and nonprofits all working together so that we're not reproducing our efforts and we're sharing resources.
But you want to restore civility and trust.
Well, definitely that,
right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where this person comes from. Because, you know, we all say, look, we want to agree to disagree respectfully. But I think in the state of Florida, we have seen, even here in Brevard, certain politicians have said terrible things about people. And words does matter.
Yeah.
Actions matter. Yeah. Well, so one of your platform, your goals is to restore civility and respect. And you want to pattern Casey DeSantis. In that.
Well, she's got what she has is a relationship between the public, private, and nonprofit. We can work together. This past year, there was an application for 60 housing units for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We did not get that grant because our application, the data in our application was a little bit weak. It wasn't as strong as it should have been.
Yeah.
Well, as the county government, we can collect that. We can do that. And so that's the role that I want to do is
and
try
how
to
would
get
something as important
together.
As that not have enough data?
So because I
who dropped the ball
so,
on that?
Well,
right?
So I'm not necessarily sure it's dropping a ball because there are so many good nonprofits that are working on this issue, but nonprofits are they're tight, you know, their budgets are tight and they're wearing multiple hats. And so I think the leadership like the Lagoon can come from the county level. We can get all the municipalities together and say, let's work on this. Let's set some goals for ourselves.
Yes.
And then let's measure our actions on those goals and see how we're doing.
Now, our county has an affordable trust fund for housing.
Just passed in the most recent charter amendment.
All right.
Correct.
And so one of your goals on your campaign is to use that trust fund for affordable housing for Brevard County, Florida.
Yes.
So talk to our listeners a little bit about how you plan to do that and work with the rest of the elected officials on the county commission to get this done.
And I think that, again, goes right back to that point where we lost 60 units of housing this one was specific for folks with intellectual and developmental just because the data that we needed wasn't as strong as it could be. And so we did the latest charter amendment passed a bucket. So now we've got a bucket for affordable housing. But there's no funds. There's nothing going into it. And the question is how are we going to put funds into that? And it's a good question. There are a lot of different ways. Broward County has a 10-year plan, and what they're doing is they're taking expired CRAs, the tax dollars that have been sitting in CRAs, and when they expire, they're going into that bucket.
What's a CRA?
A community redevelopment agency. And so they're set up in certain areas to try to revitalize a community. Area that might see some blight or might want some extra attention. But the point is that they're working countywide, not municipality by municipality, to come up with a goal, with checks to be able to check that goal, and then working together with funding to see how they can do it.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of funding available at the state level.
Right. And here in Brevard, we hear so many people talking about, you know, law enforcement, firefighters, living wage, affordable housing, health care. That's something that on the county commission you all could look at as well. Because you've said, you always say that a living wage and health care is so important for firefighters.
Yes.
And so talk to us a little bit about, you know, that's one of your goals on your campaign as well.
Okay, well, I'll talk a little. I'm going to drop this nugget here. Tomorrow there is a candidate forum. And I will be dropping a big nugget tomorrow night, a big commitment that I am going to make speaking directly to what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow night, check out that candidate forum. And I can also
I can see the future.
Yeah, it's there. It's there. And so this is a very important issue to me, because residents, I feel, in our county, and I've seen, don't feel heard. They don't feel heard by our government. Maybe they feel a certain pocket does, but not everybody. And so I want to hear. I want to respect everybody. And another little secret is, if you don't believe what I believe, I'm going to want to hear from you more, because I'm going to want to know why.
Yeah.
I'm willing and able to grow
but,
my
but
thought.
Vinny, look at you. We can have a conversation here with you and Ellen and all of us.
Yes.
Without even looking at paper, because our heart's in the right place.
Yes.
We have found our purpose on life, on earth, which is to leave a good footprint behind, right?
Yes.
So what is it that Democrats are not getting in messaging all these things properly? Because we do care about the environment. We care about a living wage. We care about health care. We care about daycare for children. We care about if you are pregnant and you need Medicaid. We care. So what is it that people are not understanding? What is that communication gap? Why do we have that? Because you're saying if someone has a problem, you want to know. How would you know if they don't communicate?
That is another big part of my platform, is talking to people. It's doing this, right? It's coming and seeing people and meeting people and saying, you're a person. You're not a group. Tita, you're not a Democrat. I mean, you are, but you're not.
But I'm a human first.
That title doesn't define you.
Right.
Just like it doesn't define me. I love my country. I love my flag. And yes, my political party is a Democrat, but that doesn't define me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we start letting terms define us, like disabled, right?
Or Indian.
When we start letting terms define us, we lose our humanity.
Right.
And when our humanity is lost, then we don't come together as a community.
Yeah, the labels don't work. So, Ali, what are you hearing from the elderly community at Buena Vista there as far as voting? Is everybody registered to vote and they know what's going on?
It's the enclave that I'm in, everyone is very secretive and a little frightened, I think, to speak on which side of the fence they're on. And once in a while, I get a comment that it leads me to believe that we don't think alike, and they basically reject wanting to talk about it.
A lot of fear.
But yes. That's the thing that I want to try to bring to people. I don't have fear, and I don't really think people should, unless you're riding a donkey in Santorini. I'm going to keep going back to that. It's comedy gold.
But
in our thoughts, how we feel. How is that something we should be afraid of?
Well, it becomes a flame on
agreed,
a lot of times.
Agreed.
And not having, you know, just making a single comment about something that you think is pretty generic, and then they may come back at you just inflamed.
Yes.
And you're like, wait a minute, what did I say, kind of thing. And so it makes it a little scary to do it.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Vinny Tarrant.
Taranto.
You see, we have to say it the way they told him to say it in the church.
The Vatican.
Because he's a Christian guy. Vinny is running for County Commissioner District 5, and he's an awesome candidate. I mean, you're so energetic, and you're so wise and experienced, and you've already given so much by being on so many boards here in Brevard and inspired so many people, Vinny, that I think if you make it to the County Commissioner seat, and you should, the residents of Brevard will benefit from your expertise. Give us your website in case somebody wants to donate time, money, energy, and learn a little bit about you.
Please, yes. So the website is vinforthewin.com, because Brevard wins with Vin. Hey, all right. So that was my little radio voice there.
Well,
but it's vinforthewin.com.
Well, you have a minute. I want you to take the remaining minute and talk to our listeners about why they should vote for you and your three top issues.
So I think you should vote for me. But what I would ask of you is go to my website, learn about me. Because when I am your commissioner, I want you to know about me. I want us to have a common language to be able to talk. And I've got five top issues, and I'll say them quick. Growth management, environmental synergy, working with our environment, because it can help us. It can save us money. Economic affordability, not just affordable housing, but also some of the retirees and the property taxes. We've got a lot to do, but we need to keep Brevard affordable. Then organizational efficiency at the county level. We've got three of our top four directors are about to retire. What's our plan going forward? Who are we bringing in? And I want to inspire a culture of accepting new ideas, that we can be more efficient.
And getting more people to go into government.
Yes.
Young
people. Yes, young people.
I know Ellen is dying to drop. Who are the Tarantinos, Ellen? There's so many of them in town.
Well, the Tarantinos are movie producers, but the Tarantos. They are local business folks. Vinny is a cousin of a friend of the other Toronto friends that I know, but all a fantastic family, all give back to the community, all support Brevard County for years and years and years. So it's so refreshing to see a local. Whenever our folks like grow up in this area and then want to give back later, that it means the world to me. So I wish you the best of luck on the campaign, and we'll do the best we can here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to make sure that you are the next Brevard County Commissioner.
Right, and we want listeners to know that this segment was paid for by his campaign. You forgot to say
this
your little spiel.
I even have it written down, yes. So I didn't mess it up. But, you know, this is paid for by the Vinny Toronto Jr. Democrat for Brevard County Commission District 5,
right.
The campaign for running.
So, and tell us again, what were you riding in Italy?
Well, riding? That was Santorini. This was in Greece. There's an island. It's called Santorini in the Mediterranean, and there's only a few ways to get from the bottom to the top. And the most funnest and dangerous was a donkey, so why not?
I'm sure you did something like that in Italy, too. I'm pretty sure if I look around, I'll find some pictures.
So I did work IT support at a convent in Italy, and so it wasn't as dangerous. But let me tell you, IT can be dangerous. So,
I did
do that in Italy.
But just think about the once again, we go back to the same conversation that we've always had, Sita. Make sure that we've got elections coming up. Please make sure that you're doing your due diligence now. Meet the candidates. Have an opportunity to expand your knowledge of not just who they are, but also what they mean to you and how they'll affect
your
life.
And I'm going to let Vinny tell our listeners the day for voting and the three ways of voting.
Yes.
Vote by mail,
yes.
In
so
person.
Vote by mail. Mail ballots will go out the October 3rd. So that's coming up.
A couple days.
The day right before my birthday,
right.
October 4th.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. So October 3rd, mail ballots go out. October 21st, early voting starts. And November 5th, that's the last day to cast that vote and cast that ballot. And please, everybody out there, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your employment, your job, doesn't matter your race, gender, ethnicity, any of that. Register. Vote. Your voice matters.
It does.
Your voice
especially
matters.
Especially in local politics.
It never in United States of America, where we have roads and cars and buses and trains, I could never understand why people don't exercise their right to vote. I just can't. You have people in India and Africa and all these places that travel for days to cast that vote. And here in the United States, this beautiful thing called democracy and freedom, people don't exercise the right. And I can't preach that enough. I wish I could put up a big banner in the sky that says, do you know where you live?
Well, I think we do every week. I hope we do every single week.
All right. So
we're going to listen to our sponsors real quick and take a quick station break. We are going to be right back right after these messages with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Mr. John.
Thank you all. Yes. Thank you.
Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super saving sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473. 2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or takeout as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. And what a robust first section segment we had with Vinny.
Toronto.
Yes.
We're going to even say it right now with that robust Toronto.
Toronto from
yes.
The priest.
1510 WWBC. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we post everything on our social media pages, which is under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and then on our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com.
That's right. And our second segment is about to begin. And, you know, I find the most wonderful guests for our show. On
yes,
social media, and then and then people actually call and recommend people. And someone recommended Mr. John Woodman. There's an M in the middle. I'll have to figure out what it's on. He's calling in from Springfield, Missouri, and he's going to be talking to us today about how we fix America and how we fix America as far as being respectful, listening, finding common ground, and talking to each other and communicating why it's important to vote, why it's important to read, why it's important not to listen to other people, but understand when we say what we're doing, that we know why we're doing it. So, John, you take it away from there. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got into, I want to say, politics, but also writing.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Sita. And I think what you just said is important. I think it's important for us to be respectful to each other and listen to each other. And you run into so many instances in which that's not the case. The course that I wrote, I tried to write very much from a very nonpartisan point of view. I would say that since then, it's become clear to me personally that there's one particular party that I can support and want to support, but I still want to, have a respectful dialogue with others.
That's right. And you were a lifelong Republican, and then you decided that that was not working for you anymore.
I decided that it wasn't working for us as a country. I came from a pretty traditional conservative evangelical Christian background. My wife and I spent 8 years as evangelical missionaries overseas, and politically we were diehard Republicans. We both came from Republican families, and basically everybody we knew was a Republican. And I was a loyal Republican for 35 years. But back in the spring of 2016, I reached a point where I really wanted to understand what was actually wrong with America and what we could do to fix it. So that spring, I started learning everything that I possibly could about our national problems, and I had no idea how long it would take, and it took about 5 years, and that was spending pretty much full time on the effort. So that was probably about 10,000 hours I put in, and by the time I was done and finally understood what was going on in our politics, I was no longer a Republican, and I wrote the course you referred to, How We Fix America.
Right. And so, but you know, I like to call myself fiscally responsible and socially compassionate. What do you think, Mr. Woodman, has happened that, you know, that phrase, we can agree to disagree, is no more? There's so many people that are afraid to put a bumper sticker on a car. People are afraid to fly a flag. People are just afraid to say anything. But here's the thing. Life is politics. From the day we're born to the day God calls us home, from the diapers we use, the brand we use, the kind of milk we drink, the furniture our parents buy, the health insurance, the wages our parents earn, everything in life is about politics. Somebody's making decisions for us. So what has happened that people don't understand that?
Well, I think we do have people who are actively stirring up division and actively stirring up animosity. And more than that, I think we have a whole set of people who are telling us false stories. We basically have two stories of what's going on in America today. We have what you could call the Democratic story, and we have what you could call the Republican story. The reason that I switched from being a Republican to a Democrat was that after 5 years of looking at everything and going as deep as I possibly could into the arguments on every issue, I concluded that one of these stories is broadly true, and the other really is not broadly true. When I first started out, I thought, you know, I'm willing to admit that I might be wrong on some issues, and maybe Democrats are half right about what's going on, and Republicans are half right. That's really not what I found. What I found is that the Democratic story, when you really look at it, the Democratic story is about 95% true. And unfortunately, the Republican story isn't. It's about 95% false. And I can back that up with a lot of content.
And there's a lot of big money involved. A lot of us are shaking our head with these super PACs that are pouring so much money into a candidate. A candidate who, if he had a full-time job his entire life, wouldn't make one-tenth of the money that they're putting into his campaign.
Oh, yeah. And I would argue, and in fact, I have argued and do argue that that is a lot of what our politics is all about. And I would go so far as to say at this point that the real function at this point of the Republican Party is to transfer money from our pockets into the pockets of big donors. Now, there's some of that on the Democratic side as well. But I would say that of the two parties, it is the Republican Party that has really given itself more fully to serving just a tiny minority of people. And that's what it's about. Everything else, every other piece of the Republican story is basically a distraction to get us to look the other way, away from what we call trickle-down economics. We had a type of economics it from the 1930s until about 1980 in America that really gave birth to the full blossoming of the American dream. And that was a period of our history which was dominated, in fact, by the Democratic Party. Starting about 1980, we started giving equal control to the two political parties. As soon as Ronald Reagan got in, he initiated trickle-down economics, and we've had it ever since.
But it doesn't work. We all see that it doesn't work. And here's the thing, you know, I speak to people, and they talk about these tariffs for the Chinese goods. But then these same people turn around and go to Walmart, and they buy the clothes that are says made in China, or the television, or the cell phone. Explain, I mean, you ran for office yourself, and you understand what's going on when candidates talk about deportations and tariffs and things like that. We don't have a lot of time, but can you talk to our listeners a little bit about when a candidate says they're going to do mass deportations or they're going to expand the tariffs, what's actually happening there, and how does that affect us, the American consumers?
Well, the one interesting thing that I would note about that is that right now Republicans are trying to run on the economy. And one of the things they're talking about is inflation. We had, like every other Western country, like all of our friends over in Europe, we had pretty high inflation in the wake of COVID because supply chains were broken and there was a surge in demand, and it was a natural consequence of coming out of the COVID pandemic. We managed that at least as well as our friends over in Europe. Inflation now is down to 2.5% a year, which is just almost at the Federal Reserve's target of 2%. Inflation is conquered, but they are running on the idea that Democrats have caused inflation. Now, the ironic thing about that is that Donald Trump is proposing two policies that you mentioned. One is mass deportation of illegal aliens, and the other is tariffs. And both of those policies are inflationary. So if you are concerned about inflation, then the candidate you should be voting for is not Donald Trump, because he's proposing inflationary policies. The deportation of illegal aliens, it's something like 30 or 40% of our agricultural workers are illegal aliens. That may not be the exact number, but it's somewhere in that range. Can you imagine the impact of just getting rid of these workers and having to hire new workers at higher wages, and the impact that's going to have on your grocery bill? That is inflationary.
But here's the thing, Mr. Wood. You know, when you talk to people and you tell them, well, here's an article to read about why eggs, bread, cheese, and butter, the prices are expensive, they said, oh, I don't have time to read that. But you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, yes, we have people who are working here in the United States, but that's how we're able to keep the prices down.
Yeah, and tariffs. Tariffs are also inflationary. Donald Trump keeps saying that tariffs are a tax on China. They're not a tax on China. China doesn't pay any of that money. That tax is paid by the person importing or the company importing the goods, which you mentioned Walmart. Something like half of the goods in Walmart come from China these days. And so when you put tariffs on Chinese goods, and Donald Trump has talked about slapping like a 60% tariff on Chinese goods coming to the country, Walmart will then have to pay the cost of that tariff, and Walmart will pass on those increases in prices to the consumer, to every one of your listeners. And that is inflationary. So again, if you're concerned about inflation, don't vote for the candidate who's proposing inflationary policies.
Yeah. Wow. Mr. Woodman, we're really tickled that you're on board here with us this afternoon. One of the pieces of paper you sent to us has a byline on it that no, Democrats aren't Marxists, communists, or socialists. What makes you say that?
I say it because it's true.
Yeah.
From 1933, let's look at the idea underlying this. The idea underlying that accusation is an idea that if you put Democrats in charge, they're going to mess things up, and they're going to give you socialism or communism, and it's going to cost you. It's going to make you poor. Ironically, that's not only false, it is the opposite of the truth. We had a period of American history, and also during this period of American history, Democrats were accused of being socialists and Marxists and communists from 1933 to 1980, in which 92% of the time, Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, and 2/3 of the time, Democrats held the presidency. So for those 48 years, Democrats utterly dominated the national stage. And what was the result? The result was not to turn America into a communist country. The result was that Democratic leadership brought us from the Great Depression and a poverty rate that was around 40% to the full blossoming of the American dream in the 1960s and 1970s.
Right. And the thing is, a lot of people don't understand that. And I don't know what happened with the Democratic Party that they were not able to message that properly, that yes, they're fiscally responsible, but socially compassionate, in that when you work and you pay your taxes, that money that they collect is paying for our roads, law enforcement, pregnancy Medicaid, straight Medicaid, elderly Medicaid. It's paying for the postal workers. It's paying for Homeland Security. It's paying for your grandma's dentures in a nursing home. And how, for our listeners, Mr. John W. Woodman is an author, and he wrote a course, How We Fix America. He is on the phone talking to us from Springfield, Missouri. And we're having a nice conversation about how we fix America and how we talk to Americans. So talk to me a little bit as you go further into this, like what happened with our messaging and the communication part of this?
Before I do that, I want to just follow up with one point from the last bit, which is that trickle-down economics is costing the typical family at least $2,000 a month, every single month. So this is what Republican-sponsored trickle-down economics is actually costing us. And the whole narrative that Democrats are Marxists and socialists, they're going to make people poor, it's the opposite of the truth, because it's trickle-down economics that's making us poor. So I just wanted to follow up with that. And what was your question?
About the messaging. I mean, where do we drop the ball on messaging? Because, you know, President Biden did well the last few years. You know, we increased in jobs. The stock market is up. And people are still saying, oh, it's so bad because of the price of eggs and milk and butter and cheese and whatever. But the truth is, when you scare the people who are working in those fields and you can't get a cantaloupe in the grocery store for the same price, you can't get strawberries, you can't get eggs, well, your children are not going to go into hot sun and work, right? Yeah. So where are we dropping the ball on this? That, you know, it's we're in this together. It's a whole. It's not part of a puzzle. It's the whole. We have to fix this. And like we said, we have to fix America.
Yeah, I think one of the places we've dropped the ball on messaging is in what I just said. We have allowed Republicans to falsely accuse us of being Marxists and socialists, and we have failed to point out that it's trickle-down economics that is costing the typical family in the neighborhood of $24,000 a year, every year, and that's after taxes. We've also dropped the ball on things like abortion. The reality, we allow Republicans to say that they're pro-life. They're not pro-life on any issue. And we allow them to label us as not being pro-life. The reality is the only policies that are effective in actually reducing abortion are the policies supported by Democrats. trying to make it illegal doesn't get rid of abortion. It's failed everywhere it's been tried, including here. The only things that actually get rid of abortion are things like providing contraceptives, providing good sex education, having an economy that works for everybody so that people feel they can afford to have families, and having strong support for families and children. Those are the things that actually get rid of abortion. And the net result is that with the complete set of Republican policies, we get 2 to 3 times as much abortion as we do with the complete set of Democratic policies.
Yeah, and we've always said on our show that the way to stop unwanted pregnancies is comprehensive sex education at appropriate ages, as well as academic and trade. Encourage people to have families when they're ready to have a family. I don't think I've ever heard a politician on the Democratic side or say to anybody, go out there and have 4 and 5 kids, and we're going to pay you to have those kids. We're going to pay for your housing. We're going to pay. And people have this narrative. It's like a parrot. They say, oh, they have kids because they get money for them. I don't think any woman is going to go through 9 months of pregnancy and pain just so they could get $200-$300 for groceries, because you still have to have a place to live. You have to have health insurance. You got to take the kid to school. You got to watch it. You have to get daycare. So, I mean, I just feel like, you know, we have Ana Navarro had a segment yesterday on CNN about the Cubans down in Miami and how they throw around this word socialism. But the thing is, I spoke to a person, a Latin American person, a few hours ago, actually, and I said, well, do you know anybody on Medicaid? He said, my grandma. I said, do you have children in public school? He said, yes. I said, did you drive to come to the gym or did you fly? He said, he drove on the roads. I said, well, do you use the airports, Homeland Security? We pay for that too. So why do you use the word socialism when you are using all the services that you accuse us of taxing and spending?
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen that before. When you ran for office, that was something you had to combat as well, to talk to people that it's not socialism, it's we're paying for services that we use.
Oh, yeah. The word socialism is a very vague term. It's used for a lot of things. I want to mention that I have some resources for listeners that are educational resources. I also want to encourage everybody to do what you can to elect Democrats and Kamala Harris. And I want to encourage everybody to get involved in this election. I don't normally give. I don't normally donate politically. I've donated this election. And I want to encourage all of your listeners to do so, because together we can make a big difference.
Right. And also, you give us the website where we can find How to Fix America.
Well, the website that I have to offer you is more oriented towards this election, but it does have a link to where listeners can get the full course. But the website I would encourage people to go to is volunteerforkamala.com, because, again, I would encourage everybody to actually get out and do something this election. We often hear this is the most important election of our lifetime. This time, it's the most important election of our lifetime.
Yes.
And I would like to encourage every listener to donate or volunteer, because it's vitally important. Right. So the website's volunteerforkamala.com, and I have resources that are almost like a one-stop shop of all of the reasons why we need to be supporting Kamala Harris and Democrats.
Yes. And you know, Mr. Woodman, you also, one of the lines you have there, one of the sentences that I think is so great, and we have only a few seconds left, is that the economy has grown much faster under Democrats, pretty close to twice as fast. And I appreciate you for writing that, because it's so true.
Yes, I would encourage people to check out the economic article and all the others as well. And in the economic article and the other articles, you will see the impact on your family of this election and of who we choose.
Well, we will make sure we share all of this great information, Mr. Woodman, on our website, as well as all of our social media media channels. The download will be available this afternoon for this particular broadcast. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are on each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're on 1510 WWBC.